Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. We're here today with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello.
Jeanette.
Hi.
Lisa.
Hey.
And Alex.
Hey.
Mackenzie is over there, but
I'm Justin.
Busy.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Mackenzie is over there. Yes. And I'm Justin. And we're here discussing what we've watched over the last year, 2022, and what has really sort of made an impact on us. So I'll move around the table, and since Angus is right next to me here, we'll start with you, Angus.
Okay.
What have you watched this year?
So me and Baylor watched a lot of stuff kind of together, actually. So most of these we both saw. Because, you know, we're clinical Star Wars nerds, Tales of the Jedi came out this year. That was only like six mini-episode sort of thing.
Yeah.
Watch it after Bad Batch. No. Actually, it's not relevant. Well, yeah, you can watch it whenever.
It was really beautiful.
It was
well
really
written.
Nice.
Dave Filoni knows how to tell a story even without words. And, like, visually it was stunning. The animation crew has just stepped it up. I think it's nicer in part than the final series of Clone Wars as well. Like, that animation has just been refined. It's, like, movie quality. It's just so beautiful.
It really is.
It was very pretty to watch.
I think Adrian watched a lot of the Star Wars series, like the Disney Plus ones this year, and there were some really good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Andor also came out this year.
I don't know if he's watched Andor.
We haven't watched that one either.
Yeah.
That came out.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
No.
No. I've heard
I'll give you the reason in a second.
Oh, okay. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, we've heard nothing but good things about it. It's just we haven't... Because Andor's supposed... At least for me, I don't know about you, but... Andor's supposed to have, like, no callbacks to the original Star Wars at all. There's no fan service.
So it's, like, completely sideways.
Yes, it's in the Star Wars universe, but it's completely spy game intrigue sort of thing.
That's cool.
The only main characters that come across are from Rogue One.
I was going to say, Rogue One was a bit like that, weren't
they? Yeah.
It was almost like the link to the original universe stuff was the spoiler.
It's mainly about Cassian Andor and what he did, and I think that it's a... In their way, it's, like, supposed to be the Han Solo movie, but because he doesn't have a defined sort of start and ending...
A list of checkboxes they need to tick off.
They've just kind of gone, here we go, we can do six seasons of this, because no one really knows anything about him.
Yes.
Whereas, like, in the Han Solo movie, they were like, bam, 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 everything.
Tick box, tick box, tick box.
Yeah.
The only problem I've seen with the Han Solo movie is that they did everything. Han Solo's story is done now. He's on Tatooine for the rest of time waiting for Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi to go, hey, we need a ship. Because every other story that he's told has been done.
Yeah.
We also watched Cyberpunk Edge Runners.
Yep.
Stunning animation.
Done by Studio Trigger in Japan. So it's an anime and... Brilliant. I loved it. I'm a big Cyberpunk nerd, so...
Oh, yeah, and I know that's been a... Ever since we did Max Headroom, we'd been talking about your interest in Cyberpunk, so it stands to reason.
Yep. So, like, I can't remember the name of the company that did Witcher.
CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red. They did the video game Cyberpunk 2077, and then either they reached out to Studio Trigger or Studio Trigger reached out to them and created, this incredible TV show.
It's set in the same world, and a lot of the scenes as well are shot in recognizable locations from the video game.
And the devs
of the video game went in to the game afterwards and added in a whole bunch of Easter eggs.
Yes.
Made a lot of the locations so that you can walk in them and open the door and just...
So you can purchase people's apartments that you see in the show. You can wear their clothing, the guns and weapons and stuff
That's a clever tie-in.
Yeah, it was really, really well done.
And because it's already an established world, like even before 2077, Mike Pondsmith spent so much time creating the world that it is so rich in lore and in it, everybody's got like their own sort of lingo and stuff that it's just an incredible TV show.
My only problem with it was I really liked Cyberpunk too, and I thought it really worked really well, except for the fact that I could see what was going to happen. So, spoiler alert, you could see what was going to happen from the first episode. So, nothing was surprising to me.
If that's supposed to be a spoiler, yes. But
I don't think it was supposed to be a spoiler. That's the thing. Like, they basically talked about what was going to happen in the end.
That's like saying Hadestown's bad because you know the ending.
Yeah.
It's a typical tragedy where you're watching the slow decline of everything.
I think we're watching Better Call Saul, and that's like, you know what's going to happen at the end of the series, you know, like, it's how they get to
And it doesn't
I think it was a bit too strongly projected, though.
I don't, I feel like it's the same as, like, watching Clone Wars, though, the TV show, or even Rebels, in a way. It's like, you already know that these people either don't exist, aren't a part of the main storyline, or die.
Yeah.
Like, you know where every single Jedi's death is going to be, even if you watch Clone Wars. And that doesn't take anything away from that story at all.
No, and because most of the story's new.
Yeah, and they do such a beautiful job. And Cyberpunk Edgerunners does such a beautiful job with the story, because it's a love story, but it's such a tragic love story. And so, like, you go in it going, all right, this is going to be sad, but you're just not ready for how sad it is going to be by the end of it. Or at least that's how Angus and I...
It was beautifully done.
Sorry you didn't enjoy it.
Oh, I did.
Mr. Too Smart for Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Angus, watch Futurama.
Hey!
I sat through Futurama.
So you hadn't watched it before, and then you've actually now sat down and watched
it. Yeah, I sat down and watched all of it. So
verdict.
I enjoyed it. It was good fun.
It's it's good. Like, you just can't...
Yeah.
Third episode. Go.
Oh, no, that's impossible.
I know, I'm being... Yeah, but like...
Final episode.
Oh. I still get teary every time.
Which final episode, though?
Yeah.
The final.
Yeah. Final.
We now know the pace at which Angus watches things, so he probably doesn't remember any of it.
No, I don't remember any of it.
Until he sees it again, he goes, oh, yes, I know that.
I did like a lot of
They're easy to like.
Yeah. It was just, nice, comfortable, relaxed viewing.
It feels really nice when you're watching it too, doesn't it? It's got a really good vibe to it.
I think the funniest was actually, I think it might have been one of the final episodes where Fry goes forward in time or something and he's married to Leela, thank you. And it's all worked out happy, and then they go back in time and he's like, what did I do to make
a love match? Oh, yeah.
The stars, and then it all gets sucked into the black hole, and he's like, no.
That's the time slip episode.
Yeah,
that was one of the episodes I wanted to show you guys. That was one of the ones, because that is such a good episode.
That was a good episode.
We did Moon Knight as well.
I've got Moon Knight on my list.
Yeah. Oh, loved it.
I've got Moon Knight and She-Hulk on my list.
Yeah. I've got Moon Knight and Miss Marvel.
Okay. I was going to put Miss Marvel, but I thought out of the three, I loved Miss Marvel, but I loved She-Hulk and Moon Knight as well. They were all good.
So, Baylor hasn't seen She-Hulk. I did. I thought it was quite okay. There were reasons.
There was antagonism about it, but I think people were going in thinking they're watching a Marvel movie, and
that
it's
was
not.
The thing.
It's and not. Yeah. It's basically, it's completely different.
The last episode was just this complete acid trip, but I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious.
It was anarchy.
It was. It was a complete mess.
See, I had no interest in watching it because they advertised She-Hulk in her She-Hulk form, and it was very body shaming.
And
heavily body shaming.
But they actually touch on that on the show, don't
they?
Thing where she's going, oh, what? Like, so she's like, I'm beautiful. I'm a good person. Yeah. I'm a catch. I'm smart. I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, why?
As Jen.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why can't someone love me for me?
And everyone's going, She-Hulk, She-Hulk. And She-Hulk's getting all the matches on Tinder.
But
and
I would
stuff
have
and...
loved that if it was a big, buff, beautiful woman. This is my only issue, is the She-Hulk has got a tiny waist, super tiny legs, and everything about her is like made for the male gaze, and She-Hulk shouldn't be that.
Yeah,
I would prefer for everybody to be in love with this big, buff, beautiful woman instead.
And it's more representative.
That's more representative of
the comics.
Yeah, that, and like, you're not allowed to love big, buff, beautiful women. That is exactly what that show is saying.
Oh,
that is exactly how that comes across.
Why can't people love me? Why do they love her? And
it's because she's made for the male gaze. That's it.
Yeah, it's because they reshaped her to fit.
Oh, because they didn't make her look like the one in the comic book.
Well, it doesn't. They didn't even need to make her look exactly like it. Like, look at Louisa from
Encanto.
Yeah.
She was a hit.
Yes.
Like, everybody wanted her merch.
They didn't want to make her as a character. The creators had to insist and just go, we are doing this whether you like it or not.
They made her a big, buff, beautiful woman. And they didn't do that with She-Hulk. And I think if they did that with She-Hulk, it would have been just as good. They could have done that same episode.
Because what they loved about She-Hulk wasn't the fact that she was the male gaze. It was that she was exotic. It was like this, oh, she's this exotic superhero. We love the superhero.
Yeah,
they don't love the normal person.
They made her thin and stuff for the audience.
And
so they didn't quite get that right.
And that's what a lot of people were saying is my issue with She-Hulk is she isn't representative in any way of the comic books physically. Yeah. Or at least that's what I've been seeing. Is like physically she doesn't represent the comic books, and she didn't need to be like as strong as the Hulk, but she definitely needed to have some sort of muscle tone.
She needed to be bulky.
I just wanted to see a different body shape that wasn't thin. And personally, at least, I get this really bad self-hatred when I see it, because it's like that's what's beautiful. That's what they want.
While we're talking Marvel, okay, so I haven't watched She-Hulk, but I have watched Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And the best out of those two definitely was Werewolf by Midnight. Werewolf by Night. Yeah.
Werewolf
and,
by Night.
And Werewolf by Night is...
Is that another Marvel?
It's a Marvel. It's
like
a single...
It's
40 minutes.
Standalone.
Quickie.
Little mini and, episode
it's
special.
It's really good.
Because Adrian went back and watched a whole heap of other Marvel and DC spin-offs and stuff. I think it was more the Marvel ones. It was all of these other ones that... They just didn't really plug a lot, and he went back and watched them all and really
enjoyed
them.
This thing's full of twists and turns. Nothing makes sense at the beginning, and it's all got a bit of...
80s horror tropes.
It's 80s horror tropes.
Beautiful.
But combined with sort of, I guess, the kind of stuff you would see, I don't know, modern fantasy, strange fantasy horror stuff.
It was a beautiful mix between the two. It was really, really good.
Actually,
the entire thing's
really
black and white.
Starts and just
it's
about finishing
basically
black and white.
Yeah,
we also have watched the Wish Dragon turning red.
They were
amazing.
Kenzie, did you want to talk about turning red?
Seen the Wish Dragon.
She's done.
Yeah.
We watched a lot of Turning Red. It's such a good movie.
Coming of age movie.
Such
it was
a
gorgeous.
Good movie.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Also, I think I probably told you this back at the time, but Disney Canada, Spotify, had created playlists for all of the characters in the movies.
Yeah, I do remember
and
you saying
And so Kenzie
that.
Will still sometimes, she'll put on one of the characters' playlists and it will be like a whole
That's
heap
amazing.
Of... It's basically, if that character were to put together a Spotify playlist, this is what it would be. And it was like spot on.
If you haven't seen The Wish Dragon, it's on Netflix. It's absolutely fantastic.
It
it's a Jackie Chan production, but it is just so good.
We really enjoyed that
one.
Yeah.
We also watched Spirited and Weird.
Spirited, is that the Australian one?
No.
Spirited is...
It's the Ryan Reynolds and...
I've been seeing that advertised.
So good. Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds. It's fantastic.
Will Ferrell.
It's a Christmas musical and it looks like so much fun.
And it is fun.
It was a lot of fun, sorry.
Yeah.
It was a silly, fun watch.
And then we watched Weird, the Ali Yankovic story.
What was it like?
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good.
You know, he's performing in 2023 and he's doing his self-indulgent tour, which I wanted to see so bad, because every time he's usually playing at Debbie Theatre, we go see him. But in the US before COVID, he did this self-indulgent tour, which is not the covers, it's his original songs.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. So he's like, right, tickets are coming out in a couple of weeks for Australia. These are my shows. Adelaide, sold out. And then it was like, oh, we've got a whole heap of sellout shows, so we're doing some more shows. We've put some more dates out. None in Adelaide. And I'm like, I missed out. I'm not going to go see him. It's the first time in like, oh my God, I reckon I've seen him three times.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not easy to watch either because it's only on Roku, which isn't available in Australia.
And so it was good?
It was good.
Oh, it was very
so
good.
Good.
You should give it a watch.
Because this is like the movie length version of the Funny or Die trailer that they made to send up all of the... So he's... life story movie is a parody, just like all of his music is a parody.
It's very interesting. This wasn't a parody at all. This was like straight up what he had gone through.
But there was a lot of incorrect stuff.
No.
Yeah,
it's
like...
literally...
yes.
I mean, you're going by the sketch and you're going by the actual film.
The actual movie is one
film.
For one.
The actual film, he did not know Madonna and he wasn't, you know...
No, the actual film is one for one.
Baylor's bullshitting. It's okay.
This is not real.
Baylor, every single person that Baylor has talked to this movie about, she has done her hardest to convince them.
Oh, no, yeah.
I
can
say to my mother it's one for one and that she should watch it.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I've read so much about it, I know that it's not true.
Yeah.
But yeah, but people apparently did think it was true and it's like, yeah, no, it's
but
not.
Strongly should check it
out. But apparently, so Madonna appears in it and has quite a big role. They didn't consult Madonna ahead of time.
No.
She has no idea.
So the only impact that she had was that there was an interview with her around the time when Weird Al was starting to get a name. Yeah. And they went, oh, like, what if Weird Al did a song for you? And she goes, yeah, then he'd do like a surgeon instead of like a virgin. And he went, actually, yeah.
But legitimately, they saw each other for 2 seconds at an award show. It was like a passing, hey, and then that was it. They'd never spoken again.
Because there was, yeah, that's it. They never really actually interacted. And there's this whole thing about a love interest thing. And it's like, no, none of that happened. But it used to always be like, he always gets permission when he does a cover. And a lot of the times they would give permissions, but they didn't really care because they're like, oh, this is weird nerdy dude doing a cover of my song. I don't care. And it wasn't until Nirvana when they said, oh, can I do a cover of my song? And they're going, oh, what food are you going to talk about? He's like, well, that's not the plan. This is the plan. And they're like going, oh, we're so disappointed. We thought you were going to do a food song. We love you so much. And yeah. And then when it came out, Nirvana actually said, we're so excited Weird Al's doing a cover of one of our songs because you're not famous until Weird Al covers one of our songs. Yeah. And then that became his turning point till everyone went, oh yeah, well, we want Weird Al to do a cover of our song too then, you know?
I remember this really old video of him talking. He was invited to a celebrity party and he felt really awkward about going,
but he resigned to
going along and was like, okay, no one here's gonna know me. And then there was this random point, I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the Beatles.
It was Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. He's like, oh my God, it's Weird Al, everybody.
Weird Al's here, everyone. What?
Yeah.
And I've been smashing out a lot of Bluey.
Hey, there you go. Baylor's been watching a lot of Bluey. How are you finding it?
You're doing so good.
I cried a lot. It's healing my inner child, literally.
But it's a really funny
show. Yeah, it's a really good show. So
parents are actually turning around going, like, Bluey's parents are giving us unobtainable goals. Yeah. We can't be those people. Yeah. That is impossible.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but it's not impossible, is it?
It's not impossible. Like, the thing
is, it's what you aspire to be.
Yeah. It's never impossible to try.
Yeah, that's it. But they're so...
They're really patient.
On board with everything.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, they do touch on the fact that, like, every now and then Chili messes up. But Chili always apologizes afterwards. Or, forgot the dad's name.
Bandit
always apologizes afterwards and talks to their children, their adults, and gives them the respect that they need and deserve.
And they're part of the conversation.
And I think that that's just beautiful.
Exactly. Because you will mess up as a parent. You can't help it. But as long as you, I think it's really important to say sorry, have hugs, and talk about it.
Explain
to the children. Look,
I aspire to be Bandit when I'm older, if I ever become a parent. Otherwise, I want to be not Bluey, but her sister.
Bingo.
I've watched it so much.
You want to be Bingo?
I want to be Bingo, but I realise that out of everybody, I'm a Bluey.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Kenzie, you said you didn't want to talk, but did you want to talk about Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Come on over. Wednesday.
Was it better than Thursday?
Did you like it?
I liked Wednesday.
We've all watched it, but as far as your favourite shows for this year, that's probably right up there, isn't it? I do my best to kill my child. And also, she got Cluedo for Christmas, so she made us sit down and watch Cluedo, which I watched.
I wanted to play Cluedo more than watch it.
But I watched that movie a billion times when I was a kid, so it was really cool to sit down with her and her actually watch it and enjoy it. So it's been on the list from the word go.
Yes, it has. Lisa's been suggesting it.
Jeanette.
She takes me to what we just watched. We just watched Glass Onion, which is a Cluedo.
Yes, Glass Onion was good, yeah.
It was so good. Other things, we finally got to watch Star Wars, Rebels and Clone Wars and became Star Wars fans. Not the movies, which I watched and enjoyed, but really those.
Yeah, the transition shows. over the series.
Brilliant. They're so good.
There are seven series, is that right?
Seven seasons.
And at the beginning it starts out pretty much as a fairly kiddie kind of, ends up just a complete experience.
Yeah. So it's incredible. Fun.
And these guys stood over us while we were with a big stick and made us watch it. That's Angus and Baylor.
I did that to my parents many times.
And the reason I did that is because there are these series all coming up. That are all related. So
there's Ahsoka.
Kenobi was based on all of that. They do show backstory, of course.
I think you appreciate. Like, I'm excited about Ahsoka coming up because I loved her character so much.
Mm-hmm.
The real highlight for me probably this year was Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things is fantastic.
We decided, because it had been so long since we watched the original, when the new series came out to rewatch from the start.
Ah.
And I just feel like rewatching it, I got so much more.
Yes, we got. We watched the whole thing, yes.
And of course, the most recent series was just.
It was a really good series.
Yeah, we still haven't watched. So we've only just got Netflix back and we haven't watched the new season yet. Yeah, so it's on the list.
And I realised how brilliant that series is. The characters are wonderful. The kids are fantastic. The stories are good. So, yeah, that's probably been my highlight. The other highlights, perhaps not so much cop TV. While I had COVID, I watched the English series Bodyguard, and that was...
You said about that. Yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. Is that Killy Hawes and the dude from Game of Thrones?
Yes.
That's very critically acclaimed.
Yeah, he's brilliant. She's, of course, always
People were really disappointed that there was only one season, but there was...
But no, it's a closed story. It's can't a closed story. More than one story. Yeah. You cannot do another season. It would
The English do that. Yes. They do it so well. Mm. They just go, we're not flogging a dead horse. This is the story. The story's over.
Yeah, and the story's told.
Is it Richard Madden?
Yes, well done. Yes,
I finally got round to watching Chernobyl.
Yes, we watched that this year.
It is amazing. One of the best things ever made, I think.
And I've yet to watch that.
Good. It's incredible. Mm. It's heavy, but it's... I've got goosebumps. It's
not that heavy. We've got to make you watch really Jon Watch's Chernobyl the Musical.
Is that like
an 8-minute song by Tripod about one of the members watching Chernobyl and
it captures it so well.
And I think the fact it isn't gore and horror, I think it's very much it's a love letter to the people that were in that situation. It is. Yeah, yes, and it didn't. Is,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah, it's like there's no good guys, there's no bad guys, there's a lot of people. Some people made some really freaking stupid decisions, and some people were doing the best they could. Yes, and
most
of
them were doing the best they could.
Incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the cinematography. Some of the cinematography in it is fabulous.
Yes.
And I can still see that scene with the two people on the motorbike, and the bus goes past, and they look, and they see another bus, and then they look down the road. And as far as you can see, it's buses.
Yeah.
The cinematography, it's just beautiful.
Do you feel like it's the fabulous. Story of Chernobyl was made worse because you knew what the ending was going to be?
They didn't die. They didn't die. You would expect everybody to die, but they didn't.
Talking of another story it
could be spoiled.
There are no spoilers in history. I've watched The Great. I don't know if you've seen The Great.
Oh, I've seen that advertised. I want to watch it. Like, is it good? Is
fabulous.
And it's absolutely that's another fabulous. One. It's so critically acclaimed, but I kind of go,
absolutely fabulous. No, you'd love it. It's really funny. And clever. It is so funny. Don't watch it.
Watch
it with Mackenzie.
I want to say Dakota Fanning. It's not. It's a sister. A younger sister.
Yes, the other sister. Ellie.
Ellie Fanning. She's wonderful. And Nicholas Holt.
Yes, he's so good. Yes. Definitely not child friendly.
To add, I watched Bridgerton. And if you haven't seen it, so good. The first season, oh my God. It is raunchy, it is fun, it is just.
I feel like I need to give it a go now because I feel like I kind of go, ugh.
Angus, you had
determined to look at my damn list.
It was a good watch.
And something that is suitable for Mackenzie, The Amazing Mois, which you watched on Boxing Day.
The Amazing
Mois. It's a Terry Pratchett adaptation. One of his young adult Discworld novels. Mm-hmm. And it's about cat and mice that require intelligence. Oh. And it's gorgeous. It's just a beautiful, funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect Boxing Day watch.
Perfect.
Yep.
Good fun. So that's me.
So there's something about that Boxing Day watch. And I think that these few days like after Christmas, I've been watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which is not the type of thing I would ever watch. Mm. But I think it's Boxing Day viewing, isn't it?
Yes. Murder Mysteries for Christmas. Yeah. That's the
It's a cozy murder mystery.
Okay. Well, but it's in the 1920s and it's Australian. And it's
the ABC shop had all the teapots and cups and the china and Miss Fisher.
Everyone raves about it. I'm like, it's on Netflix. Let's see what the fuss is about. And then next minute, you're like, you finish season one and you're like, what happened? It's cozy limbo between Christmas and New Year's watching, I think. Have you got any others? It's up to you. Woo, I've got a massive list.
Oh, dear.
But fortunately, a lot of mine have already been covered, which is good. So I've kind of got categories. So then I've got like your She-Hulk and your Moon Knight and your Miss Marvel, which were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. I discovered that this year.
Right. Yeah.
Watched it for the first time. Our Flag Means Death.
Yes. I completely forgot about that.
So good. And you know what? I got all the way through it and didn't realise that Steve Bonnet was a real person. And I went down a Wikipedia black hole. It was incredible. Yeah. And incredibly how much of the show was actually fact. It was just insane. Yeah, really good. So
I've quite an extensive knowledge. It's not that extensive, but, you know, it's detailed.
Sydney is pirates.
Of the Caribbean around that age, of the golden age of piracy. So I knew about Steve Bonnet and their end.
Sid Meier as pirates.
And Blackbeard and their end. And so I know a lot of the
I'd heard of Blackbeard, but names, I didn't, I'd heard of the Gentleman Pirate, but I didn't realise it was Steve Bonnet.
There was the game that detailed Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think it was, and they had a lot of the famous pirates, including Steve Bonnet and Blackbeard, and they did them all so well. But there's one thing that's really annoying, and that is, there's no spoilers in history, Blackbeard's eventual demise. And I don't know if I want this show to do that, but I've not seen the demise done well, because it was brutal. Like, he was cut 27 times with swords and shot 4 or 5 times with guns.
They made sure he was really dead.
He kept fighting.
He was still going.
Sean Bean in a past life.
Or at least the same amount of lives as,
So, I'm a big podcast nerd, so there's lots of, obviously I'm doing a podcast, but there was a couple of really good podcast adaptations that I watched, like, as a mini-series, and that was Homecoming, which I'd been holding off on for a long time, actually sat down and watched. I think it was better than the podcast, season 1 and 2. Season 2 really goes off base, very different to the first season of the show or the podcast, and Archive 81, which I couldn't get through the podcast originally. It's like a horror podcast, and that's it's this an AV guy, and he specializes in topes, and so he gets sent to this archive to basically go through all of these tapes and archive them and fix them and transcribe them and digitize them, and it actually goes through these tapes are actually a journalist who's researching on her building and all of the horror things that have been happening in this building, and then and so he gets drawn into all of this weird cult horror stuff that she's reporting on and things like that. Really cleverly done, but it's actually the mini series was actually extremely well done. So I think that was a Netflix one.
That's Netflix.
I think that was a Netflix special. I bring it up every single year. I'm a big fan of Drag Race, but I know it's always.
But there was another season, so it has to be said again.
There was 50 freaking seasons because it just keeps multiplying. But they actually did an All Stars season where all of the winners from all the previous seasons all came together and did a series. So if you were ever to watch Drag Race, that was the season because it was like a masterclass. It was all of the ones who've done really well all got together and did a season. Jinx Monsoon is an absolute incredible actress, comedian, writer. And she should have her own show. She's 100 times better than RuPaul. So, really, I mean, I don't even know why RuPaul's doing it. She's probably the least good thing about the show these days. We've all heard that. She's extremely from another era and problematic. So, the other thing was Strange New Worlds. Finally watched Strange New Worlds. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Well, New
Worlds. That's the animated one?
No.
Oh, yes. Right.
That's
okay,
the one. So it's a spin-off of
Captain Pike.
Discovery. Yeah, it's a spin-off of Discovery, and it's Captain Pike and his crew before Kirk joins the crew.
Kirk,
extremely good. Back to old school.
Yeah, back to old school.
It is really OG, and it's actually really well
Men
done.
Walking around in mini skirts.
And, you know, we got to introduce Mackenzie to the phrase red shirts because she didn't know what a red shirt was. It was that really, you know, whereas Discovery was kind of very much different to the Star Trek experience. It's very binge-watching and things like that. Yeah. This was back to basics.
Back to basics,
and it was even more like OG Star Trek and early next-gen Star Trek than anything. It was actually really good. And Lower Decks, which I
have actually just watched it 4 times in a row, and I'm about to finish season 3 again, and as soon as I finish season 3, I'll go back to episode 1 again, because I will watch that show forever, because it is so good. And I think next year my pick is going to have to be one of the episodes from Lower Decks. Yeah, I think we've all watched it now, haven't we? So
I haven't watched all of it, no.
No.
I haven't watched
this
any.
This is not 20 years old yet, though. So.
I don't care. I don't care. It's so good.
I mean, we need to do the rest of the Star Treks before you can bring in Lower Decks. So do we just want to do a year of Star Trek?
I can. I'm next year, the year of Star Trek. Oh, I'm down with that. Do we need to change the name of the podcast, or we just keep
Star
going?
Star Trekking throughout 2023.
On the Star Trek Enterprise, on the
Star Trekking, Jeanette has left the podcast. She's still at it, it's there. It's all super fine.
The last thing I want to kind of bring up, which I've been watching a lot of, is those kind of reality crime shows. So the ones I really want to kind of talk about is The Act, which was the Gypsy Rose Blanchard murder. Yeah, and then the other one was The Thing About Pam, which I knew nothing about, but it actually has Renee Zellweger, and it was really cleverly made. It all became this bit of a thing where all of the streaming services were bringing out all of these dramatised versions of true crimes and all the rest of it. Yeah. Those ones did it extremely well. So I'm not sure if anyone else has watched those.
Watch, just tear off the Band-Aid and watch Detective Conan. It's like 800 episodes. It's anime. Yeah. It's like a murder
in
every...
Detective Conan. I'm jotting these down. It's, Amazing Morris, Detective Conan. Has he got red hair and freckles by any chance? No,
he doesn't.
No? Has he got a loincloth and a sword?
800 episodes. How long is each episode?
Like 20 minutes.
Feels like it's 400 episodes. A lot of my time.
Oh, yeah.
I've stopped watching Supernatural, and I think I'm about 5-6 seasons in. So, I don't know whether I'm going to...
A few years ago, I had a binge of Supernatural, but that was...
I've got to get back on to
it. Did you see that Pokemon's got its last episode? Ash is officially retiring from being the lead.
Jeez, that's going to have to be one of our episodes. That's well over 20 years old.
Yeah.
I also tell a lie. Definitely. Detective Conan's had over 1,000 episodes at this point. Oh. They're at 1,040-something.
I feel like we've been talking about Pokemon, and so I feel like Detective Conan's like Detective Pikachu or something. It's
So Detective Conan's basically this teenager who gets drugged by this criminal organization and it's meant to kill him, but instead it reverts him to the age of a child. So he's this child detective solving all these cases, and he's being adopted by an uncle. He's literally like 5-6 years old. And his uncle is a private detective who's completely useless. And so Detective Conan has to trick his uncle into solving the crimes.
So it's Veronica Mars and Tintin rolled together.
More or less, yeah. It's brilliant. Like, the murders are, like, really, really clever and thought out. Like, if you want to commit a murder and have it completely undetectable by the police, steal something from this show. Like, honestly, the things are like, what? Yeah.
And I think I brought it up a while ago, but before Christmas, because we've just got this Netflix, so suddenly we're going bang, 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 watching all these Netflix shows. Yeah. But Haunting of Hill House... When you were talking about cinematography, the cinematography with that was incredible. Some of the things that they would do these long shots, but then they would show people like walking down a hallway and walking into a room, and then suddenly they'd be back into the house. The clever tricks that they would use with the cinematography, it was too good for itself. I'd be watching it going, oh my God, like, why is this not a movie? Like, this is extremely clever. That was a lot that I had to pound out in a small amount of time. Man, I need a nap. Go on, Alex.
Yeah,
you've probably got some really interesting
ones. No, I don't. Because
can I guess? Right. You've been watching a lot of YouTube.
Yes. And other stuff as well.
Oh, okay. Normally it's been YouTube. Yes, so I'm just going with what you normally say.
So I'm noticing a lot of stuff you're recommending is Disney Plus stuff, and I do not want to get Disney Plus, please, which is why I'm slightly annoyed by Doctor Who jumping to Disney Plus.
Yes.
I'm not getting Disney Plus, please.
Yeah.
But, you know, streaming news, when Discovery and Warner Brothers merged, they got rid of a lot of backlog of stuff from their streaming services. Mm. So basically, the point was that it wasn't getting enough viewers, it was just wasting space on their hard drives, and they were wasting money on residuals. So these programs just are no longer on the system, which is a problem because now you can no longer view them in any legal means. So some of the creators of these shows are basically keeping mum, because if they say anything, they'll be pariah in the industry because they can't say part stuff because nobody will hire them anymore.
Yeah.
So they're the type of things you've been watching?
No, just one I've been putting off watching that this situation got me, I'll watch this now because, you know, it's actually sending it around because the only way you can watch it is illegally, so here's the entire series, watch it because it's good. It's Infinity Train.
That's on Stan.
It's on Stan.
It's on Stan.
It's on Stan. Okay.
Hang on, let me see if we're talking about the same show. It's on Stan.
It's on Stan. Oh. Okay.
So you recommend Infinity Train?
Yeah. It's hard to describe without spoiling it, but it's basically each train car is its own separate world, and anybody who gets on the train has a number on their hand. It goes down when they start having self-actualization, and it goes up when they're being selfish or whatever, and when it gets to zero, they leave the train. Yeah, but
do they want to leave the train?
That's a nice thing, because by the third series, you get to meet a group of people who think that the train's like their birthright, and they want to just basically rule it like entire little brats.
Like it's a good thing that they're still on the train.
Yeah, basically, and they want to, and they're bragging about how big their numbers are. And it's really hard to describe without spoiling it a lot, but they find the kids who are bragging about how big numbers find a girl on the train who's got no number on it, who's written it on a felty pen.
Spoil it. Don't spoil it. So is it something I could watch with Mackenzie? Or is it something I should watch?
It's designed for kids, I mean, to the point where major characters are kids. It feels like, because the first three seasons are almost one continuous, not quite one continuous story, because it's like, the focus was on Julep in the first season. Second season is a character I don't want to spoil because it's hard to explain without spoiling it.
Yep.
The third series is about these kids who are treating the train as their own private playground.
So it's different characters each season.
Pretty much, yeah. And the fourth season, because the fourth season feels like a letdown because it feels like it's a different theme to the other ones. Like if it was doing next season 5 times in a row for 9 seasons, that would work. But it's basically the two childhood friends who end up drifting apart. And they're like basically on the train at the same time. So they kind of have a linked number, which is a bit of an interesting twist.
Wow.
But yeah, it's basically, it's all about self-actualization. it's also a lot of innovative stuff that happens on each train as well. Yeah, it's a really cool show. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Mm. Anything else?
A few small things. Like, I end up finally watching Years and Years, which is weird, because some of it's more optimistic and some of it's less optimistic, because they nail the ending, which is very, it cleans up the entire world. But it's like, each episode is, and it gets worse, which is very depressing when you're watching it all the way through, but the ending is, it's wraps everything up and it's so nice and lovingly. Yeah. But it ends up being weird watching it in 2022, because by 2024, a lot of bad things have already happened. So it's weird seeing how wrong and right they get sometimes. So like, one of the first things that happens is the military take over Ukraine and absorb it into Russia. Uh-huh. And so it leads to a lot of refugees coming into Britain.
Though I guess it probably wasn't a hard guess.
It wasn't a hard guess. But yeah, it's like a lot of stuff that rhymes with the real world, but not quite. And it's just fun to... The downside is, part of the show is they have to have the episodes of, oh, what is this current trend in the year 2027? Oh, it's this. And that's still sort of dialogue. It's really annoying, but it's the price you have to pay for that kind of series. Mm. By the time like it's the fourth episode, it gets an emotional gut punch and it ends up pulling it through the rest of the series. It's not the best, but it's good at what it does.
Yeah,
it's just weird watching it in 2022 and being like, oh, that's bad. That's good, that's bad, that's weird.
What is it, 2 years old and it's already...
I mean, some of it's weird because...
Pre-COVID, wasn't it?
It was made in 2019, so like, there's no COVID. And to the point where there's supposed to be disease going around, but it's basically stories planned by the government to... Spoiling it a little bit here, but they start making concentration camps and they're wanting to kill everybody in the concentration camps, and they're saying, oh, it's a disease, it's bad, to try and brush over the idea that people are actually being killed in the camps. Yeah. And that is like almost COVID, but no. Just enough not COVID that didn't work. It's a little weird watching it in 2022, but it's like one of the few things that like, I'm putting it off. I watch it now. It's like a few, I'm like halfway through, but I need to basically continue watching too. And
it feels like me and Black Mirror. It's like, it's just so dark that I can't bring myself to watch it.
The good thing is that it stays the ending, which it's almost a bit too cheesy, but it's the ending cleans it up a lot, and it's like, yes, everything's back to good times.
Oh, and they live happily ever after.
Pretty much. It's not that much. I feel like watching it's like, I don't want to get through this because it's so depressingly dark, but it works by the end of it.
Okay, so I spent the beginning of the year watching Rebels, or being bullied into watching Rebels. Rebels is quite a good show, really. Like I say, it just builds up from this kid... Mm-hmm. It's a kind of kid-level show, right up to full cinematic, enormous, your story with gut-wrenching
conclusions
and huge battles that sort of lead into the Star Wars universe as we sort of first encountered it at the beginning of episode 4. And it obviously is going to lead into a lot in the future. But then I got bitten black and blue into watching Star Wars Rebels. And that was a side story, but it looks like it's going to lead somewhere.
Not in Rebels. Did you say Rebels?
Rebels. You said Rebels first time. And I think you meant Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, Rebels, yes.
Yeah.
So that's going to obviously lead into something, some things that are coming up, I suspect. Yep.
And that had its own gut-wrenching conclusions.
And that had its own gut-wrenching conclusions. Although, yeah, there are some survivals, but...
Are there?
Maybe.
How do you know?
Don't know yet.
Oh, have you?
Then we moved on to watching Stranger Things. Yes. And that's absolutely amazing. That's a very good show. Solidly recommended. Out of all the series, it's probably the best series.
Wow.
This most recent.
Yeah, this most recent is probably the best series. Probably. The third being the weakest.
I was going to say, the third wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was still good. It wasn't great by Stranger Things standards. Yeah.
But now they've ramped up the scale enormously. I don't know what they're going to do with the next... I
can't wait.
You reckon there's going to be another season? Oh, they can't.
Oh yes, there's going to be another season.
That's the final. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But the scale is going to be so enormous that you wonder, it is going to lose a lot of the original. The only problem I thought with this latest series was the separation of the characters. Like, half of it took place in Russia.
Yeah.
And you're sort of going,
And because then they move away at the end of season 3 too. So I was wondering how that was going to... I'm assuming they'd all have to kind of reunite somehow.
They spent the entire series reuniting,
But the Duffer Brothers specifically said that they were following, I'm pretty sure it's A New Hope, that sort of storyline with Stranger Things. So, like, the protagonist goes off to learn from someone sort of thing. And so...
Interesting.
Well, that's just kind of hero's journey to some extent.
Well, it is.
Yes, that is the thing.
That's pretty much what Lucas ripped off, wasn't it? Hero's Journey and a lot of the classic samurai movies and things like that, which all follow that formula.
So then I've got to say it all abruptly stopped because Jeanette absolutely insisted on watching B5.
No, you suggested it one night.
We watched one episode.
I feel like we have this conversation every year, don't we?
I've got a huge list of things we've yet to watch. But I have watched quite a few sort of sci-fi movies. But out of them, probably the best two were Don't Look Up, which is just hilarious and so true. And the second one is a little film called Vespa, which is set in this sort of post-apocalyptic world where all the technology has been replaced by biological technology. So they live in cities that are growing. It's crazy stuff. Yeah, it's interesting.
So interesting.
And just everywhere they walk, there's just alien biology around them and things like that. And this is Earth. and it's really well done. But yes, I mean, the wish list is huge. I mean, we've got Dragons, Elves, Star Wars, Andor.
Yeah. Yes. Adrian watched Rings of Power this year.
Yes, Rings of Power. Yeah,
I didn't, but yeah.
I watched the first episode and I wasn't allowed to watch any more. Dindy movie that's coming out.
Is it called Dungeons & Dragons? Or?
It's Dungeons & Dragons.
A New Hope.
No, City of... Thieves, something.
Honor
Amongst Thieves.
Honor Amongst Thieves, that'd be it. Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah. And it does look like it's good.
And the other one on my wish list that I haven't watched yet is Squid Game. So I want to watch Squid Game.
Adrian's watched that.
I keep
that.
Hearing about it, but I don't know.
Kenzie knows more about Squid Game than I do, I think, but she's just because she watches kind of hit silly things
popular
on YouTube
media, very strongly.
I watched bits of it over his shoulder and then I kind of watched a lot of the death and stuff and kind of went, I'm checking out of this one.
Yeah, it's kind of, there was an anime a while ago that petered out and went nowhere and I wouldn't have advised the people in the same strain as Firefly called Dead Man Wonderland, which was very similar, like people competing in basic games sort of thing and if you lost, you died. But I think that was part of, this penal system that just existed in the world.
Yes, but my pick for this year is definitely Stranger Things.
Hedgerunners would be my pick for this year. Okay.
I would have imagined Moon Knight, maybe. You did really like Moon Knight.
I did really like Moon Knight.
took us a while to get into Moon Knight. Like, we really dragged our feet in the first few episodes, and then something clicked, and we just went, oh, this is so good. I think sometimes with Disney Plus, that's because you've got to wait for the episodes to come out each week, like normal people do when they watch TV. We're not getting that instant gratification.
We kind of keep disinterested until, like, it's all out, and then we're like, okay, now let's be interested.
I think for my viewing experience, I prefer Edge Runners over Moon Knight, purely because you hadn't seen it, I hadn't seen it, and it was an experience, whereas Moon Knight was like, it felt special to me. I got to share Edge Runners with you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay, yeah, so thanks everybody, and that was...
so much good stuff I need to watch next year.
Part of everything in Disney Plus.
So I'm going to have a big wish list. I reckon it'll be good 2023.
Yeah,
lots of stuff. Are you adding Detective Conan to yours too, Justin?
Probably.
So are we all agreed that 2023 is going to be Star Trek? No. Or is that a joke? Was that a joke that we're actually going to do it?
Quit.
There's only eight shows.
Angus is bringing Detective Conan to the table next year.
Apparently am, okay with that.
I've got my list of shows that are almost exactly 20 years old, and my pick, which is made in 2003, is Arrested Development.
Is that 2003?
Yeah, 2006, yes.
Mm. But yeah, and see, the first season was where it was best.
Yeah, the downside is I need to work out which episode we watch. That's the problem.
Yes.
Arrested Development.
Yes, you'll learn in like 9 months' time or something.
Yeah.
When it ends.
The one episode, it was on because it used to be on TV at like midnight or something, and one night I was watching TV, and it was the episode where... Was it Joe was doing some stunt and he was being buried in a coffin or something?
Yeah.
And it was just the most ridiculous freaking episode. And Buster was dressed up in an army uniform, but it was a women's army uniform. So it was like a really tight, slutty looking army uniform. And it was just like, I just remember watching this episode, had no idea any of the characters are, and I laughed so hard I couldn't get back to sleep. So I don't know. There's some really good ones in season one.
Yeah,
so
I just need to look at which episode though, because...
Yes, that's a really good one. Where there's no good guys. They're just all bad people. They're all bad people. None of them have got any redeeming features at all. And when you think they do, then they do something that's just so horrific. And you're like, yeah, I love it.
Okay. And that was the Cult TV Club. See you guys.
Bye. 93.